So, as I said in my email, all good things need to come to an end, or all arduous things need to come to an end, and well, sooner or later. So, I want to just have you guys hear some stuff about what you've learned. And so, the first question is, in this course, what did you learn that you can't lose? You might want to put yourself on mute until you're ready to talk, because we've got some feedback. So, since Carol, you are not unmuted, you can share first.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot to mute. Damn. So, I would say being, my business is Mind Matters, the marketing mindset, you just have to know whenever you get stuck, you can, change your mindset about it and just kind of look into it a little deeper. And, what I set out, part of what I set out to accomplish, I did accomplish. So it's just a matter of deciding what you want and then looking for the obstacles and changing your thoughts around them.
That sounds too simple to me, Carol.
If anybody has any trouble, you can send them to me.
That's right.
I'm gonna self-promote right now, given the platform. But I mean, that's what I do. I just have to remember to apply it to myself. You forget to do things for yourself. So, it's a good reminder, and it was interesting to see how you took the, applied the power of the mind to marketing, because it does affect everything. And, I've certainly worked with people around, business questions. I mean, more of what I do is the anxiety and, psychological issues in other areas. But I have helped people with public speaking and, different marketing tasks that have caused anxiety and fear. So,
Right.
yeah.
You notice that, I did a promotion for the More Clients Club and had 85 new people join, and a lot of people dropped out after a month after paying their big $1 thing, and almost every one of them said, "I never looked at it once." And of course, then they said the lie, "I never had time to look at it once," which is never true. So
Right.
it's interesting how we argue for our limitations, and we don't find a way to just get started.
Yeah, that's very true.
And in the mind, getting started is the hardest thing, but in reality, it's really not that hard. You open a page and you read a couple things, then you read a couple things more, and then you're started. So, but I'm saying this because it's like, okay, I have something to do. I can find a way to do it. I can find a way to get into it. I can find a way past my resistance. I can create a plan. I can try my best. It really comes down to that, doesn't it?
I don't have time is probably the biggest block to making any kind of change. And I
Is
deal
the
with
biggest
that.
kind of lie?
Huh?
You say, did you say lie, the biggest kind of lie?
No, I didn't say lie. Honestly, I don't remember what I just said. Maybe somebody else does. But I think it's like one of the biggest things I hear, when I talk about, okay, so this is homework. I want you to practice this breathing technique, and I will address, I don't have time before they even leave the office, because I know that's going to be the problem. It's going to be the reason why they don't do it. And so, the I don't have time thing that we tell ourselves is always popping up as far as a block
Yeah.
to doing what we want to do, even if we really, really want to do it. So yeah, I find the best thing is to, try to put a time on it. Well, how much time will it really take to do this part of it? Will it take only 5 minutes to do this introductory piece? Will it take 10 minutes? Do you have 10 minutes? When do you have 10 minutes today? You know, just to really break it down. Because in our mind, we're so overwhelmed. We feel like we don't have time. It's not really a lie. We do feel that. But when we have to...
It is a lie. Yeah. Even if we feel it. But I know what you're saying. We kid ourselves. We're deluded. We're confused. But you can find a way past that, is what you're saying, right? I really like what you say, though, what you say, you know, it takes 10 minutes. When do you have that 10 minutes? How can you remind yourself? Can you write it down? Can you put it on your calendar?
Yeah.
Can you look at the other things? How can we seem to have so much time for television?
Yeah, I mean, it's good to break it down and not make assumptions that people will find the time, you know, whether it's with yourself or with somebody else, to break it down. Because, you know, people want to have the time and make the time. They don't really, all it takes is a few minutes of problem solving to create the space.
Yeah.
That's all it really is.
Yeah. Interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So thanks, Carol.
You're welcome.
So, you know, the question is, what you learn that you can't lose is, you know, maybe it's not true that I think we could perhaps lose anything, but we get into this, we can get to a place where I've really got that. And as long as I remember that, you know, for instance, we can be confused about how to write a letter, how to do a marketing message, whatever. But if we come back to and revisit it, it will all flow back. It's like, oh, yeah, that's what Robert said. I have to remind myself sometimes what I tell myself and tell people. Oh, yeah, when I'm writing a letter, don't forget benefits up front, make it very clear, not so much process. I mean, I can't really lose that. But I can forget it. So it's okay if you forget it. We got a million things in our head, but we can't access it. It's in there. We've done it enough. We've thought through it enough. And we can come back to it. But we won't be always on top of it. We won't be thinking about it all the time. We won't be motivated to do our marketing or whatever a lot of the time. But we can come back to it. It's there. We've learned it. It's like riding a bicycle, right? Once you've learned, you can get back on and get started again. Oliver is nodding his head no. If he got on a bicycle, he'd fall over and break his head. Is that what you're saying, Oliver?
Actually, I thought I'd start riding a bicycle last March, and because I'd ridden a bike all my life and then hadn't for years, and down this little hill, didn't know which way to turn, crashed and burned, blood all over the place.
Really?
Oh, yeah. My balance is not what it used to be. So screw it. That bicycle analogy doesn't work for me, Robert. Works for most people.
There is exceptions to every rule.
There are exceptions to every rule.
And you know what? You could learn to balance and ride a bike again if you put your mind to it and took precautions.
Or then take precautions, yeah. But anyway, so there.
Might be worth it. You don't want to, you know.
not around here. Too many hills. I'm not doing that.
I know. I used to ride a bike a lot before I moved to Boulder Creek. And I bought a bike for my wife and me, and she went on a bike ride, but she didn't know biking that well. And we went down a turn and turned right, you know. And she went straight into the bushes.
Right.
And she never rode her bike once after that. It's like, this is it for me.
It hurts. I don't want to do it.
No, exactly. So what did you learn, Oliver, that you can't lose?
Actually, I learned that avoidance, that I tended to avoid doing things that I didn't really want to do, and that sometimes I need to do stuff anyway.
Whoop, he just froze. Can you hear us, Oliver? I love Zoom when it works. Okay, let us have somebody else go. How about you, Sarah?
Okay, so I stepped away for a second. So I didn't hear what the...
Oh, the question was, what did you learn in this course that you can't lose?
Well, I learned... marketing momentum, I guess.
Sir, we're not go slow because we're having a little trouble hearing you. There's a little distortion. I don't know what it is.
Sorry, I've got earphones on. I'm at work.
Okay.
Is that better? You can hear me?
Okay. Yeah, just go slow.
All right. So I think marketing momentum is the most important thing. Is that marketing can happen continually, and it's really important not to lose that momentum and to keep going. And I feel like my pattern is kind of to have short bursts of energy and do lots during that time and then sort of lose steam. But I feel like the things that you do consistently, I feel like if there's anything powerful that I've learned, it's that the things that I do consistently are the things that make difference over time.
Right. Okay, good. Anything else?
Well, and I guess for me, and I was telling you this on Tuesday when we met, is that I realized how much of this all is a mindset. And yeah, being in the right mindset makes it a great thing. So I feel like that it's a struggle to maintain the right mindset framework. But yeah, if you can master that, then you can master anything.
So what's the... This is an important conversation. We always come back to this, but you know, I call this marketing mindset, and in some ways, it's not the best language. What's more accurate is the whole stuckness and unstuckness thing. I think we make more progress if we become aware of our stuckness. And then when we become aware of it, we see it for what it is. It lets go of us, and we're simply open to possibilities. So that openness to possibilities, you might call a mindset, but it's not something that you have to do in any forceful kind of way. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like, I want to have the right mindset. And the other part of your mind says, you can't do this. You're going to be a failure. So better to question into the one that says you're going to be a failure and see that it's absolutely nonsense. You're just making it up. It's something that triggered you. It's something that's taken over your emotions and your thinking. And really get to the bottom of that. And what you're left with is space, openness, and possibility. And it's not just a marketing mindset. It's just a openness to try the next thing, to explore the next thing. You might say there's a marketing mindset around the particular principles of marketing. You know, the principles of marketing is clear communication, marketing syntax, building relationships. All of those things are sort of important mindset things or attitudes about marketing. Am I being too, I don't know, philosophical, or am I making too fine a point about this? Do you get what I'm pointing at?
Now, I understand what you're saying. Okay. I get what you mean.
Carol, do you have a point you wanted to make?
Yeah, I mean, it basically applies to all aspects of life. So if you're working on your marketing, you know, I call it, like when I was doing my 7-week program in the first class, I called it the success mindset, you know, because you're open to your goals. You're open to possibilities.
Yeah.
So it'll help you to achieve success when you're in that open mindset.
Yes. But not so easy, right?
Right. So you got to do what you said. You got to acknowledge, if there's a problem, you got to acknowledge the problem first. You got to have the awareness before you can acknowledge the problem. So the awareness, acknowledge it, address it, question it, and then you're in the right direction to observe and see the possibility so you can just move forward.
Yeah. You know, that last question of Byron Katie's, which is, who would you be if you couldn't have that thought? Or who would you be if you couldn't attach to that thought anymore? Or who would you be if you couldn't think it was impossible? Who would you be if you couldn't be stuck anymore? This is not something we were brought up with, except in very rare instances where you had semi-enlightened parents, right? Okay, Sarah just disappeared.
I'm still here, though.
Sarah's back.
Yeah.
What happened to Oliver? Where's everybody else? So back to Carol and back to Sarah about this point. You know, any one of these questions can get you out of the stuckness. Just any one of them, all of them sometimes, but just if many of you practice this thing of noticing what you're saying and just asking yourself, isn't that true? It's as if it was a pronouncement from God from inside your head. This is hopeless. Isn't that true? It's just made up. It isn't true at all. But it has incredible impact and effect on you when you're believing it. But that can snap you out of it. So it's, finding a way to habitually, continually question the negativity, fear, the doubt, the uncertainty, all of that. Hey, Roberta, welcome.
Hey, sorry I'm late.
Yeah, you told me you were going to be late, right?
Yep, I was right.
We just lost Oliver. I don't know. He froze and he isn't coming back. Hopefully he'll be back. And we don't know where Nancy is, and Leanne is not coming today. And Sharon is AWOL. Anyway.
So here we are.
So, you know, there's, for me, it's, you know, there's so much freedom in that. See, this, if there was one thing I wanted you to remember and never lose and not forget, it's this thing. Because, you know, marketing problems are, it's like they're like math problems. They're not inherently upsetting. I laugh because in grade 10, I thought math problems were inherently upsetting.
Me too.
In fact, I was so upset by math that I took my 10th grade math book and I tore it into shreds. I actually did that. I can't remember how I got a new math book. I don't know how I passed math. I don't know. It's all a blank. Math is a blank since grade 10. No idea what I learned in grade 11 and 12. None. I can't remember one class. I can't remember who my teacher was. So these things can go deep. You know, and stuff around rejection and not succeeding and trying your hardest. I mean, Sarah has worked really hard and really diligently, and she's had some walls pressed up against, and that wall did not crumble. It just stayed there. She booked can I share this, Sarah? She booked a class with this woman's shelter, and she was very excited about it. And then they canceled it. And it took forever for them to figure it out. Well, we don't have the budget for this. And it was such an important thing, and it was such a right thing when they wanted to do it, because they had such a problem with an autistic person that came in and blah, blah, blah. And then it just died. And we could talk about a million strategies of how to overcome that and how to work with that. But sometimes bad stuff, stuff we don't want, not necessarily label it bad, stuff we don't want happens. We don't catch the fish, you know, because we think of marketing as fishing. And we just don't catch the fish. And then when we don't catch the fish, it's not fun anymore. And then it's like, oh, fishing is no fun. I don't know how to fish. I don't know where to fish. Other people are better fishers than I am, blah, blah, blah. And like me with math, we sort of just give up on math. I can't even understand how people can be interested in math. I mean, it's like beyond my friggin' mindset. And lucky it's not a big issue in me. I don't need to use algebra. You know, I learned how to read a spreadsheet and a profit and loss and, you know, all that kind of stuff I can do. But any advanced math, it's lost to me, totally. So, but marketing is necessary, more necessary than math. And so when we come up against those brick walls, if we can't question our thinking, we completely undermine any potential for resilience, which is already there. Human beings are resilient.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
To Sarah?
Yeah.
I just want to thank you for doing what you do, because your work is incredibly important. I have a nephew who is autistic, and I mean, he will probably never be able to benefit from, you know, being in the workforce and having that kind of support. He's profoundly disabled, but it makes me so happy to know that you're out there doing that kind of work, because it's really needed. So thank you.
Yeah, it really is.
It's important.
Yeah, and very challenging. And, you know, in conversations with Sarah, we talked about this guy that needed support, and this company could never really get it that this guy could be somehow reachable and supportable. They just never got it. They just thought he was insubordinate and stupid and blah, blah, blah. And they just gave up on him. They just gave up on him. And yet they wouldn't even get help. They wouldn't hire Sarah to help him. So it can be frustrating. You know, I have lost, there's so many potential clients I've talked to that if they don't get help, it's pretty clear that they're not going to make a lot of progress in their marketing very soon. They're just going to go down the path they're going. You can just see it. What they're doing, the habits they have, the information they have, the crappy, terrible, ugly website that they have that they think is okay. And it's like, but I can't save everybody. I can't help everybody. I just have to let go and move on to the people that want to be supported and get the help and get the coaching. So with Sarah... Sarah now just disappeared. This is all recorded, thank God. So all of this revolves around getting past our limiting thoughts. And then we can see that this work is valuable even though it's difficult. We can see that it makes a difference even though sometimes it seems hopeless. We can see that it's worth keeping on even though we're not making as much money. You know, I was a poster boy for struggling for the first 10 years in my business. Not the first one or two, the first about 10 years. I barely made enough money to get by. I mean, I did, because I persisted. But oh my God, all I did was make mistakes. All I did was communicate ineffectively. All I did was not ask for the sale, didn't believe my clients could ever pay me any money. I mean, you know, I was in a spiral of frustration for a long time. So if I can succeed, I know anybody can succeed given who I was. And I guess about the only thing I had going for me is I was persistent because I didn't want to work for anybody else. The thought of that seemed like the most depressing thing in the world. Working for in a job. Anyway. So the question is, there, Oliver, he's back. Oliver, unmute yourself.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with my computer or whether it's the internet, but it just keeps popping me.
Okay, so we're going to catch you while you're there.
Sorry, I apologize.
No apologies needed. We understand. Blame me. Blame Zoom.
I don't think it's... I don't know.
And you're frozen again. There you are. Here's the question. What did you learn in this course that you can't lose?
Oh.
Now, you shared a couple things and then you froze.
Well, I learned that pretty much I have a lot of power that I need to use and use consistently. And if I don't use it, nothing happens. So basically, it's up to me. I learned a lot. I've come a long, long way in a year. I mean, life is really good, and business is looking really good. And I realized it's not what drives me. It's not the money so much, but just doing things. And I feel good. I mean, this was probably one of the best investments I've ever made, ever, period. Maybe it was the right time. Who knows? But it's good.
Yeah, you're so much more on track. You were kind of flailing around.
I was using excuses, really making excuses. Oh, I don't really need to do that. And, and you pointed out very nicely that it was just bullshit.
I love that. You pointed out that you're full of shit, right? Exactly. That's my job.
So anyway.
Do you ever notice that when you really commit to something, everything changes?
Yeah. It happens. Things happen.
Yeah, well, we get into this place of trying. You know, I'm trying to succeed. But there's always a back door. There's always an out. There's always a way to justify quitting.
Yeah.
At some point, something shifts. Something shifts, you know, and there's different levels of that, you know. I'm at this place with the More Clients Club where I'm absolutely committed to growing it, but I've been diddling around with it for a couple of years. I wasn't really committed. It was just sort of coasting. But now I'm going to be doing ongoing launches, adding stuff, doing stuff. I'm really committed. Something shifted. And, you know, anything can cause that shift. For me, it was like, okay, I don't want to work forever as hard as I'm working. I would like a good ongoing income from the club where I don't have to put in quite as much time. And if I have a few hundred members in there, I can be making good money with fewer hours, and I can do other things. So it's like it's my retirement plan. I already have money for retirement, but I want you know, I want to have more flexibility for vacations, this and that. So it's my retirement plan. So something just shifted, and everything about it is I'm more interested, I'm more curious, I'm thinking of new ideas. I worked with a client yesterday that showed me a website, and I said, wow, that would be a great model for mine. So something happens when you commit. Do you ever notice that? You see opportunities, you see possibilities, new ideas come in, and everything starts to revolve around how can I use whatever comes in to make it succeed? And it's not an effort anymore. It's a game. You're playing for excellence to win, to make it happen. So if you're playing the game of business with sort of one foot out the back door, you're going to sabotage yourself. It's not going to work. It's going to be too hard. It's going to be difficult, et cetera, et cetera. So just think of that. And sometimes Like, we don't want to make the commitment because we think if I make the commitment and then I lose, it will even be worse. Get what I'm saying? I mean, if I was only in it halfway, if I lost, no big deal because I wasn't really committed. So we're very sort of tentative about commitment in some places instead of being all in. You know, you ever watch poker on TV? Those guys have some real guts. You know, they have a lousy hand and they're bluffing and they go, I'm all in. They push, you know, $75,000 into the center. It's like, it's sort of win or lose. It's all in. And in a way, that's what we're doing. It's like, I'm going to go all in with this until I succeed. When I wrote the InfoGuru manual, I went all in. I mean, really all in. I wrote that sales letter 10 times, seriously, before I even launched it. I went all in on it. I spent hundreds of hours writing it, just all in. And I didn't even worry about how successful it was going to be. I just needed, I had to do it. And everything I've done since then. So I don't know if you can hear me, Oliver. You're frozen again. Doesn't Oliver have a great look on his face right now? It's like he's really listening to me. But his internet thing is still not working. Anyway, so what did you learn that you can't lose, Roberta?
Good. I have three here. I was just thinking about them while Oliver, you were talking with Oliver.
Okay.
The most important thing is that I've had a shift in my understanding on who my clients are. And you've watched this happen, evolve, where instead of individuals who are struggling to make a living and I'm working one-on-one with them, it's with more complex businesses. And I've always had one or two in my client base, but now my marketing and what I'm doing is shifting to actually target them. So that's really, you know, and within that is having a sense of my value is different. So that I'll never lose.
Yeah.
The second thing is I really appreciate the whole framework that you've provided in terms of how to structure marketing copy. You know, I've just dove into that and I've appreciated a lot. I've even used it with a couple clients. So you've given me something I've been looking for a long time. And of course, your help in fine-tuning some of mine is going to really help me understand it better. The third thing is, especially in the first third or half of the program, when we had to write those articles, and we wrote the sales letter and then the articles, and we were really punching out a lot of stuff. It can increase my capacity to write, and I like to write, but I was required to write larger things, and I found myself enjoying it, doing a good job at it. So it just kind of kicked up my skills and confidence with my ability to write. So those are three things off the top of my head. It's been a good program.
Hey, welcome back, Sarah.
Hi, I'm back. Sorry.
It's okay. We're a rotating parade of participants today.
Yeah.
Roberta is here while you come, and Oliver comes and goes. And
my whole computer shut off, everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It happens. Well, I can hear you better now. It's better than your microphone thing. Are you in a place where you can just talk freely now?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good.
People might walk back and forth, but.
Oh, gosh. So, you know, that first thing that you shared, Roberta, is really big.
Yeah, it has been for me.
You know, and as you said that, I thought, that's sort of, you know, you can break marketing down into so many things. I mean, it's sort of endless models, but one model is sort of the triad of the most important things in a marketing message, who your clients are, what their problem is, and what your solution is. Clarity on those is everything. It underpins everything. It's like, you know, I meet people who have been in business for a year and they don't have answers to those three questions and they wonder why marketing is hard because they can't target it to the right people. They don't really know the issue they're trying to solve for them in a clear way and they really don't know the ultimate outcome or solution. So the thing is, it's not that hard to figure those out with a little concentrated work. But if you don't, So and then it shifts and you go, okay, I was pretty clear about that, but here's a new possibility for the target market. And wow. And along with that comes, here's their problem, here's my solution.
Right.
You know, you can't have one without the other. They're really a whole, right?
Yeah.
But then you see, wow, there's whole new possibilities for working with these people. I could work with them longer. They could pay me more. It could be more challenging and fun work. It could be longer work over long. I think I already said that. It's like, wow. And then that shifts. And then that also helps you commit to that because of the clarity. And it's like, yeah, that's something I want to go towards.
Right.
Not everybody's there yet. It's like, you know, Sarah's trying to find out who's the perfect client, who's going to pay me, when will they pay me, why will they pay me. You know, it's working out. When that gets clearer after she works with a few people, things will start happening. But now you're really on a whole new level.
I feel like I've been turning a train. You know, it's been slow, kind of methodical to it, and so. You know, I've been rewriting everything I wrote before, but that's okay. It feels really productive. And so I'm just kind of gearing up for the real marketing over the next 6-8 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Great. I have some people that worked with me a long time ago, and then I look at their websites and the new stuff they're doing and the programs they're offering. It's like they took off.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just a foundation. Although you're hardly new in business, you've been in business for a long time and done different businesses, but now you have really a solid foundation for this.
Yeah, I do.
To make more money, to have a more secure future, and to have fun working with these people you're working with.
Exactly.
So, you know, this is something that you want to have to be solid that you can't take away from you. It's like, and even if I don't know, I know how to create it. I know how to recreate it. I know how to think about it. I know how to look at it. To figure it out again, it's worth revisiting frequently the three pillars of marketing.
Sure.
Maybe that's the next article I should write. Although I've written various versions on that a million times, it's so important. So good. So has everybody shared that's on the call? No, Udo hasn't. Udo Tils, can you hear me, Udo? He's not responding.
Hey,
Udo.
Hey.
Udo, you're unmuted. Look at, can you hear us? This is the funniest call today. I can't tell. Maybe he's looking at something else.
He's not what I would say.
Udo, can you hear me? Okay.
Maybe he doesn't know he's still
Did he turn down his sound? Is he looking at something else?
Looks like it.
He's looking at a different monitor, perhaps?
Maybe he's in a different group.
Maybe he's in a different group. I don't think so.
Hello, Mr.
Okay, well, while we can't hear Udo, my computer dropped the call as Carol was speaking, so I didn't get a chance to hear what you were saying, Carol. Sorry.
Well, it's all recorded.
I'm going to look through.
Listen to the recording.
I will.
You don't want to just repeat everything over again.
Okay.
We'll drive people crazy when they're listening to it. So, okay, but I thank God I have more questions here. Okay. I actually did some preparation on this. So the next thing is, what do you need to learn next and how are you going to learn it? What do you think, you know, where's the next step in your growth?
That's easy for me. That's an easy one for me to answer, Robert.
Okay.
It's public speaking is the edge. I'm past the terror and now I'm building skill. And I hired somebody, I have been working with somebody who's helping me with the structure and the PowerPoint, and I'm just doing it. You know, I've got two of them this in November, and I'm putting feelers out for additional talks. So that's my next step, is to actually get on stage.
Great.
Develop the skills and the confidence.
Yeah. So what is it that will make you successful at that?
Perseverance.
Okay.
Just staying with it. You know, I get the same little fear stuff going on, and it's like, well, maybe I'm thrilled. Maybe I'm not terrorized. Maybe that's, you know, just continually doing it and building my skill, just like I did when I was learning, when I was improving my writing.
Yeah. So make sure that you create a big, compelling goal around it.
Okay.
A goal or a game, you know, the words goal, a game plan, an intention. So it's like, I want to give X number of talks over a period of time, whatever that goal is.
Something measurable.
Yeah, make it measurable. Because, you know, it's measurable to really be good at talking, although that's somewhat somewhat vague and not that specific.
Well, I'd like to do two a year in the first half, two a year for the first 6 months.
Two a month, you mean?
Two a month, yeah, thanks.
Two a year for the first 6 months?
two a month for the first, for January through.
Okay, two a month minimum.
Minimum, at least two a month, right?
Yeah. Now, look, it's not so important that you always hit your targets. But it's always important that you're going for your targets. You know, if we always hit our targets, that is, if we always got what we wanted, always, you know, life couldn't work like that. You know, there would be no games because everyone would have to win, and everyone would win. Team A has a target to win. Team B has a target to win. There's got to be some winner. There's got to be some loser. So when you set a goal, you also have to say there's a possibility of not winning every time, but I'm always going for it. I'm going for that. And, you know, if we set our goal sights too low, then, you know, it's not much of a game. It's not interesting, and we lose interest. So set it high enough so it's kind of challenging. It's kind of scary. And then back it into activity. You know, what activity do I need to do to get two talks every single month? How many organizations do I have to talk to get the two talks? You know, we have to really, and then that really is a plan. So if you had a 50% close rate, you'd have to talk, have a conversation, send materials to four organizations a month. So it's not a trivial goal. And over a year, over 6 months, that's 24 organizations.
Right. Over 6 months, that's 12.
That's 12 talks, but it's four connections.
Oh, I see. Got it.
Potentially. Yeah. It never works out perfectly math-wise, you know. But it's like, you know, 1 month you don't get anybody. What does that mean? It'll happen.
I'm sorry? What does that mean? It means I tried and I did the best I could, and I might have four the next month.
Yeah, you just keep playing the game.
Right.
Is anyone athletic out there enough to know what a second wind is? Everyone's heard of that concept, though.
But I wouldn't ever call myself athletic.
No. So when do we get the second wind?
After we're tired.
Yeah. After we're about to give up is when the second wind often happens. See, for instance, we lost Sarah again. Now Sarah is going to come back because she's her computer needs a second wind is what it needs. Who knows? Maybe her computer is breaking down. She's probably like, ah! Anyway. So yeah, so when you've tried three organizations, they said, oh, that's not a talk we're interested in. She's back.
I'm here. I'm on my cell phone now, so I'm moving around. So I got you all.
Tenacious.
Okay. Yeah. Tenacious Sarah. Okay, so she just put us on black screen. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. Did we lose somebody else now? for a British distiller.
Well, we only have Udo in image only. Maybe you should send him an email.
Yeah. Hey Udo, do you hear us yet?
He doesn't even know we're here.
Yeah, he's doing something.
It's important.
Okay, that's okay. When he watches this tape, he'll laugh. Okay, so where were we? So the second wind. So, you know, we've got a project. We're going for it. You know, I've experienced that many times. It's like now we're tired. We're fed up. It's not working that well. It's discouraging. You know, I'm in my eighth year of the club. It's like I need a second wind or it's going to die. You know? And I don't want it to die. So it's like I've got to put a super effort into it. Here's a term from some teaching I learned many years ago, a super effort. You know that concept, right, Roberta?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
What this teacher said is that ordinary efforts don't count. That's bad news. But it's good news in a way. It's like the way it is. Ordinary efforts will give us ordinary results. Ordinary efforts will maintain the status quo. Ordinary efforts will keep us in our comfort zone. And that's okay for certain things in life. But, you know, when things are flagging and we're discouraged, we have to, Tony Robbins talked about going into massive action, which I think is really appropriate sometime. It's like, not I'll try a little bit more with this. I'll try to make a few more calls. I'm going to do nothing all day but make calls. Call as thing. Or I'm going to write and rewrite and get it edited and try it again until it finally breaks. So sometimes you have to do that super effort. So, you know, not every minute you'd have a breakdown. You'd burn out. But it's like, what would it take to get two talks a month? Because for me, when I did that way back in 1995, that was the turning point of my business.
Right.
You know, I'd moved to Palo Alto and I hardly had any clients. And it was like, okay, it's sink or swim. And I went for it like crazy. And everything turned around. Everything turned around. And soon after that, I got on the web and things took a whole nother level. And I created this years of momentum from that. Just years of momentum. So I see that's possible for you. And then you can coast a little bit.
Yeah.
When you got more clients than you can handle, you're making a ton of money. You're putting money away into savings. And I don't mean you shouldn't rest. You shouldn't take care of yourself. But really some kind of a super effort.
Yeah.
I say this because I see so many people that sort of, I really want to try really hard. And then 6 months later, they haven't done anything. Somewhere they gave up. Somewhere they just said, it's enough. It's okay. I don't want, you know, it's too difficult. I'm not depressing you, am I? Anyway, okay, so who's next? What do you need to learn next and how will you learn it? Carol? Can you hear me, Carol?
Yeah, so I really, really, really want to sell some products, you know, the online. And I know that's a whole nother kind of marketing. But like you, you know, there's only so many hours in the day and I want to have another stream of income that doesn't require, you know, paid by the hour time. So that's what I really want to do. And so now having access to, you know, all the articles and like, you know, just through you, through the club, that's going to be helpful. Like even on AWeber, there's a ton of information.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
There's tutorials, there's articles, you know, for your, you know, email marketing, which is what I'm going to be doing. So I'm going to look at those, just that alone, just saying, okay, I'm going to read up and watch the videos and, you know, it's going to increase my knowledge base and show me what to do, you know, yeah, and just take it one step at a time.
Yeah. And ultimately it means a redesign of your site, you know, but you know, you're in a place where you're really focusing on therapy. You've got a lot of clients. You got to be careful that all of a sudden you don't put too much time in that and you undercut your income. So you're in a good place, but a hard place to make that transition in some ways.
That's very true.
But if the thing to get obsessed about is how do I get more people on my list?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a difficult problem. It's like a difficult math problem.
Yeah, I don't like math either. That's
well, it's just, you know, all we're talking about here is addition, though. You know, it's all about addition and not too much subtraction. So it's a good easing, good articles, good information. But it also might be doing things like getting interviewed for podcasts, doing something where you put yourself out there or speaking at conferences or something. See, it's not just, well, I want to have a product and sell it. There has to be a whole thing around that. And so, you know, what I mean by that is, sorry about that. One second. I just muted his video. That was stupid. I meant to, where was I? I totally lost control of this conversation.
It's a whole thing around it, you're saying.
Yeah. So let me give you an example. I just got a new client. She couldn't afford to do 6 months. So I said, okay, I'll do 3 intensive sessions with you. And all she does is she sells a product. And and she's a music teacher. And she's invented something that is a breakthrough. And it's called Note Knacks. And it's a way for young kids as young as in kindergarten to learn music, learn how to read and compose music at 5 and 6 years old. It's brilliant. And they use these blocks. Each represents a long block for a whole note, a half note, a quarter note, and an eighth note. And you put them, you line them out, and then you start to compose melodies and stuff from that. And she's been selling them to school districts and stuff like that. She just wants to get it going. But she has, it's not just a product, it's her life work. It's a whole thing. I mean, it's something that could be very big at some point. But she doesn't make sales. She just doesn't have it online. She doesn't have a big enough list to really promote it online. So she knocks on doors. She speaks at conferences. She direct calls to music directors in school districts and stuff and demonstrates this. So often we think the passive it would be great to just have a passive product on our site that we just set back and the orders flowed in. Well, you know, the InfoGuru manual was on my site, but it was my email that got the sales. So I was writing emails all the time. And here's a new thing about the thing, and here's a extra thing, and blah, blah, blah. And I wrote up a little blurb for the InfoGuru manual in every single email I wrote, and everyone was different every week. And I did that for like 5 years. So is it possible? Yes. But the focus should be on what can I do? You know, you've got the whole thing of meditation tapes. What can I do that's unique, different, special from everybody else that stands out and really makes it interesting, really makes it compelling, really makes it available? Because if it's just similar to everyone else's, big deal. So she has no competition for what she does. Sure, there's competition in terms of learning music, etc., but she has a unique product. And she can sell that with a lot of enthusiasm. So creating products is tricky. But that's what you want to think of, you know. What's the breakthrough? Is a breakthrough product. And then you have something to talk about. you know, we found something that isn't, maybe it's not the product itself, but it's the subject of these things. You know, what is the subject of a particular meditation tape or an affirmation tape or something that really, really moves the needle for people? Ever hear this guy, Shad Helmstetter? He's the guru of self-talk. He wrote a lot of books on it. Now, when I first saw him, he gave a presentation. He was in his late 60s. He's probably retired or dead by now. That was 20 years ago. But he did mass mailings and got hundreds and hundreds of people in a ballroom. And then he explained this whole concept of self-talk. And then he sold tape sets. And in the end, people were lined up in the thing to buy these tape sets that cost $100 or something. And I bought them. And I listened to them. And it was an interesting thing. It was just affirmation type stuff. But he found something that no one else was doing. He cornered the market on self-talk. No one else could touch him. No one else had, and God knows he'd been working on it for many, many, many years. So what is that thing? And it doesn't have to be the most unique thing on planet Earth, but what is something that's really powerful that really works? Am I motivating you or am I depressing you?
I don't know. I mean, I've been trying to come up with that this whole class, and it's hard. I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. I know from the Mindful Body course I did, there was interest when you mentioned weight loss. You know, there's interest in that. But there's so much already out there. Just try to think, okay, what's different? What's a new twist on, it just seems like everything is already out there in some capacity. So I don't really know right now. I don't know.
Yeah.
To keep thinking about it. It's, you know, I think it's like stuff I'm already doing, but just connecting it differently.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah. Are you, you know, maybe, you know, you tried the stress program that does.
No, that was a total bomb.
Total bomb.
The thing is, that's why people come to me one-on-one. So I thought, well, that's a no-brainer. I mean, anxiety, stress and anxiety, that's the number one reason why people come to me. So it was so interesting to find that I got no interest in a group class.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people just like the privacy of being able to tell their story and the one, you know, some things groups just, they don't, yeah, who knows?
Well, so it doesn't mean that, you know, a product wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Because it's private in that way. But I don't, you know, I'm, you know, just trying to figure out what would be so different.
Yeah, it's tricky. You know, the weight loss field is vast, you know. Like, for instance, the Curves women's exercise place.
Yeah.
Now, that hit a peak at some point. I think it's going down. I don't know. I don't know if they're still around.
I don't know either. I haven't seen any.
There's other ones, too. They were the first ones, but now there's other ones that are similar to that. So they really had a really sweet spot for a while.
Yeah. But then everyone that's going to try it in a geographic area tries it, and it's sort of like, okay, what's next? You know, it's tricky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I sold a lot of my manuals, but there was a time for that, and then I can't make $10,000 a month selling those anymore. I just can't. Maybe I can't with the club. You never know. So, but you might want to ask yourself, you know, when I work with clients on weight loss, what is the most effective? Where do I get the most results? And then how do I multiply that?
Mm-hmm.
And how can it be different from other weight loss things? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Maybe more focus on the mindful eating part of it. Emotional eating, which to deal with it would be mindful eating, mindfulness. Because, I mean, that's, I think, probably the number one reason why people continue to eat the stuff that they really you know, shouldn't be eating if they want to lose weight because they're feeling that emotional need. So to address that as a big part of the program, maybe that's something that would appeal to people because it's true. It's a major factor. And like something like Weight Watchers, I don't think they address that component. I think most weight loss programs don't address how you deal with emotional eating. Maybe.
Yeah.
And I am reading this fascinating book right now. All it's like completely like opposite of, you know, stuff that I've learned about emotional eating that I'm going to try out with a client. I told her, I'm just learning this. This is really fascinating. She's like, oh, I would love, I can't wait for that. You know, so she knows she's my guinea pig. She's totally up for it. So I'm going to try this protocol out with her and see how it
works. Well, that's the direction to go, a place of exploration and discovery and really what works. We have a cleaning person that comes every week, and my wife said, looks like you're losing weight. She said, yeah, one of the things I did is I stopped buying peanut butter because when I eat peanut butter, I just eat it from the jar and I can't stop. But I said, I like peanut butter a lot, but I don't eat it from the jar. So I thought, yeah, there's so many things, you know. It's like, you know, she's sort of on a self-improvement kick. She has new braces on her teeth, and she's trying to eat well. And, oh, my God, it's such a battle, right? But that's an interesting thing. So there's, instead of thinking, oh, yeah, I want to do it online, think of the topic, the subject, the methodology. Then that has something that you can build something around. You write a small book on it, perhaps. You whatever it is. You know, you really get into the methodology and the technique, and that has a magnetic property because not everybody is doing that. Mm-hmm. And you see if that's a hot thing or not, and it might be a hot thing. You know, this all emotional eating thing is not new, but it's... Right. You know, I know 30 years ago I had someone there was a company in San Francisco called Thin Within, and it was all about the emotional part of eating and, you know, the mindset of eating. It wasn't about diet plans. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're around anymore, but.
Well, good, because I don't need more competition.
Well, people have made millions and millions of dollars in the weight loss space. And some of it has been quasi-legitimate, let me tell you. You know, Weight Watchers has been tried and true. A lot of people have made it work, some of these plans.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Everything has its upsides and downsides. So, they're, you know, Weight Watchers is great in certain ways, but not so good in others.
Yeah.
And the emotional eating thing, I mean, it's not just for weight loss. It's like deal with, like, binge eating and just, you know, the binge eating disorder, which is a psychiatric problem, or, you know, drinking, you know, that's really the same sort of problem.
Addictive, you know, behavior.
Drinking, emotional drinking versus I'm drinking because I'm out, I want to have a glass of wine socially versus, you know, I'm drinking a couple of bottles a night for emotional reasons.
Exactly.
So potentially has the ability to address that concept more widespread than just weight loss.
Yeah. Okay. So work on it.
Okay.
Let me know how it goes.
I will.
Okay. So let's ask the question of Oliver. What do you need to learn next, and how will you learn it?
I need to get out there more consistently. So I started on Monday, and I went to the local Toastmasters, which I hadn't been to for 20-plus years. And I thought, it's Cottonwood, Arizona. There isn't much around here. But it's actually a pretty good group. And I think part of the reason was I just wanted to get out, and I thought I could maybe add to the group. But I'm going to get a lot out of it. And now I'm looking for a business networking group. I might have to travel a little bit because there's not much around here, but I just need to be out more than I have been. And I want to build not a huge business, but a little better than it is right now, and maybe a group business. It's just doing more things, speaking more, getting in front of more people, getting out. I want to expand my weekly blog to maybe more readership, build my list. And it's just, it's not the end of the earth if nothing happens, but I have the time and the energy, and I feel really good. So let's just get out there and run the cage a little bit.
Well, you know, you're in a fresh place, a new place, a new home. Yeah. You don't have 10 million possessions to distract you.
I don't even have a computer that works properly, it seems.
However, you might want to check with your internet service provider and see if you can get a faster connection. That might be part of the issue.
Well, I think it's as fast as I can get here. I just rebooted the modem, and that seems to have made a difference.
So, yeah, these things happen. But if you can meet with people by computer like me, if it keeps breaking down, that's
good. I can't have this. There's no way. I might even have to get an antenna of some kind. But anyway, I will figure it out.
Yeah. So, you know, I really advocate for things like Toastmasters. You know, any time you're in, you're not worried about getting clients for that or anything, just being in that space, working on talks related to your business. It keeps your mind sharp. It's fun. It's one of the best volunteer organizations in the world. And there you are in Cottonwood, Arizona. How many people are in the group?
There's actually 23, I think.
That's a good size group. Perfect.
I didn't think there were that many people with that much free time in Cottonwood.
You still do the same thing. There's a couple talks every time, and then there's table topics, right?
Correct.
That keeps you on your feet. You know, it's one topic, and you have to go around and say something about that topic for a minute or something, right?
Yeah, it's just practice. This last time they had a lady who was practicing for a contest at Flagstaff, and she was actually amazing. I thought to myself, wow. Because, you know, you walk into some place like that and you figure, this will be Mickey Mouse. It'll be a bunch of little old ladies and old guys with nothing to do. And I'm not going to get much out of it, but maybe I can add something. And I was amazed. I was amazed at the caliber. So I thought, you know, smart ass, you're not that smart.
Well, this could also build your confidence to do some speaking that ultimately could get you some work.
Yeah.
If you need it. I mean, you've still got a deep bench of people that you have to contact and follow up with and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, but I think the speaking is important. It's very important. And along with Roberta, I'm going to target maybe not two a month, but one a month at least, of wherever it might be. And the conferences, every time I've spoken at a conference, I picked up a client or two. So, you know.
Okay. Well, you know, there's things like Lions and Rotary and Flagstaff and Sedona and all these little places, which is sort of low-risk place to practice this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's one thing you could do. I mean, there's Phoenix, but it's kind of far away.
Well, once in a while, if I get the right group, it's worth it. You know, whether it's a landscaping organization or electrical engineering, organization or whatever. Somebody who's trying to build a business. Rotary, I tend to find that you get, you know, a local banker and a clergyman and teacher and whatever, and they're not for me for the most part.
Right.
You know, same with Lions Club. But there are others. There are business development organizations.
I used to speak to groups like that. And I got a client or two, but it wasn't my ideal group. But anyway.
Yeah, years ago, I would speak to anybody, and I would attend two or three groups you know, a week pretty much. And I would hang there until I got to talk to two people one way or the other. I mean, I would even talk to a bunch of Mexicans betting on a cockfight in the corner, whatever, whoever would listen to me.
That's a perfect salesman. Great salesman.
But a lot of that uplifting note.
You never know. You never know
where they're going to come from. Hola,
Jose. Nah. Well, that's kind of clients came from.
So with that, I think we're close to wrapping up. I'm sorry not everybody could be on the call. At least most of you were on the call some of the time.
Sorry.
It was an interesting on and off again thing. Anyway, you know, it's been great to work with all of you, the people that are on the call right now and everybody else. I really feel I've created really great relationships with people. I love all of you. Every time I look at my calendar, I go, oh, I get to meet with Carol or Roberta or Oliver, and was always excited to see what's next and what you're going to work on. And the progress has been amazing. And I've been through your ups and downs, your confusion, your successes, your struggles. And, you know, I just wish you the best of luck. If I'm not on your list, put me on your list. You know, I'll look at your stuff. If you feel you need support sometime in the future, let me know. For people who are graduates, I can do things more flexibly. I can do a session or two here or there if you want some help with something. So I'm not going to sell you an advanced ultra package of only $5,000 a month, and then you will transcend marketing nirvana or any nonsense like that. You've got what you need, but if you need support, you know, find support with me or somebody else. Get the support to stay on track if you need it. You have access to the club. You'll be getting weekly emails from the club. You've been getting those the last few weeks since I added you all.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can go into the forum and ask a question or make a comment anytime you want. It's there and it's available to you. And we do have a live session once a month. And I think it's at 12 noon on Wednesdays once a month. So that's available too if you want to take advantage of that. So I'll be around as long as you keep subscribing to my list. Until the day I die, probably. Or not. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows what the future will bring? Anyway, it's been great. It's been great working with all of you. And for all of you who missed the session, you know, everybody that, Nancy especially, also Sharon and Leanne, same to all of you. I wish you the best of luck. And reach out if you need some support. So thanks, guys.
Thanks, bye.
Have a great day, great week, great Thanksgiving, great Christmas, etc. And don't use the excuse that this time of the year is a lousy time to market yourself. I once wrote an e-zine about that. This was famous. I reran that about four times. It was a guy who was... he sold long-distance telephone service way back in the day, and he said, Robert, I'm just not going to do any marketing in December because everyone says it's a bad month to market. And me, being Mr. Contrarian, said, well, that's not necessarily true because there's more gatherings, networking parties than ever in the holidays, so I recommend you go to everything, accept all invitations, and December was his best month of the year. Really, it was. And that was like a shift in his mindset in business forever after. It's like, you know, it's whatever you make up. So he was a good networker, good at talking to people. But he said, sure, why not? So he went to everything and really worked out. So you never know you never really know what's going to work or not work unless you give it a try. Okay, guys, love you all. And we'll see you online, somewhere, somehow.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.